Lutheran Public Radio is now a nonprofit organization. That means all past, present, and future gifts to LPR are tax deductible. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio, and mail it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for your support.
We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
The voice of President Obama this morning speaking to what looked to me like millions of people in the mall in Washington, D.C., from the very steps of Capitol Hill. An amazing spectacle. The speech was short, to the point. Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live this Tuesday afternoon. It's January the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next half hour of the program, we'll talk about the Obama presidency. It is mere hours old, but of course, the next 4 years, there's an awful lot to do in the next 4 years for anyone who occupies the White House. We'll be talking about that with Dr. Jeff Walls a little bit later in the program. Hour two of the program, audio open lines. There was an invocation at the beginning of the inaugural proceedings this morning given by Rick Warren of Saddleback Church in California, and then there was a benediction given by civil rights veteran Lowry. He came and spoke with great passion. It's hard to call it a full-blown benediction. Very little mention of the God Christians have come to know in Holy Scripture. We're going to be talking about that invocation and that benediction, and getting your thoughts on both of them during audio open lines. And then, to round off today's program, Greg Kokel will be our guest, president of Stand to Reason. We'll talk about how you debate someone with a strong personality, someone who may not let you get a word in edgewise. He's got some great tips for us coming up here in about an hour on Issues Etc. Our call-in number, as we come to you live this Tuesday, January the 20th, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jeff Walls is our guest. He's Associate Professor of Political Science at Concordia University, Wisconsin, co-author of the book Lutheran Pastors and Politics, Issues in the Public Square. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
How long does the so-called honeymoon period for a president typically last?
Typically, and this goes back to Franklin D. Roosevelt, FDR, his first inauguration, his first term back in 1932. Typically, we're looking at a 2-3 months, 100 days is kind of an informal marker or a metric to measure by which to measure that. It does depend upon, of course, different factors and circumstances regarding the election of that specific president. Certainly with FDR coming on the heels, in some ways similar, of certainly very traumatic economic times back in the Depression era, and now we have certainly challenges today. So certainly some parallels there. FDR's 100 days gave him a little time to try and get some of his ideas passed, while the Congress was a little more receptive and gave him a little more margin for error. So we'll have to see with Obama. There's some speculation that, and you never know how things go, that perhaps his honeymoon might be a little longer, depending upon certain conditions. Obama did win fairly convincingly by 8 million votes in the popular vote, the Electoral College about 2-1. He's got some pretty healthy House and Senate majorities. So all those different factors will determine how long his honeymoon period will be.
What did you make of his inaugural speech this morning?
It was, as you said, it was brief, but it was 2 points. It was vague, which most inaugurals do talk in generalities, but I guess I was struck especially by, which other presidents have used, but by his use of the word responsibility and challenge, or responsibilities and challenges. Certainly we have significant responsibilities as a country, as Americans, in a number of different ways, internationally, domestically, but challenges, really during the electoral phase, I think neither McCain nor Obama really spoke about some of the challenges we might face, or if they did, they spoke in generalities. Hopefully now Obama will carry through and come up with some concrete legislative initiatives for some of these great challenges, not only economic challenges, but certainly foreign affairs challenges as well.
When then-President-elect Obama was making his way down the steps, when he was introduced before this throng, I mean, throng doesn't even approach the spectacle of this many people in Washington, D.C. for the event, one of the commentators I was listening to commented that here comes the man who is probably going to have to spend $1 trillion or something approaching it very soon to bail out the nation's economy. How big of a challenge does the president and his party face now?
A significant challenge. You mentioned that $1 trillion number. Some have bandied about $825 billion. And certainly a short-term economic stimulus is needed. Almost everyone agrees on that. But I think when Obama talked about some of these other challenges, he's also alluded in the last few weeks to the challenges of entitlement reform and to the challenge of long-term, some kind of long-term budget discipline. We do need to spend, certainly, to get some economic activity going, but on the other hand, our budget debt is almost $11 trillion. We're going to add, as you said, almost another trillion onto that. Our projected budget shortfall for this fiscal year is about $1.2 trillion on top of that. So the challenges are immense, both short-term and long-term. And if, you know, if the Democrats and Obama cannot at least appear to turn things around somewhat significantly, then certainly the public opinion rally and kind of the tsunami of support we've seen now could falter. And we do have House and Senate elections only, well, less than 2 years out.
I'm wondering about the other big issues that will face this president immediately, the kind of things that can't be put off. Obviously, we mentioned the economy, but then, of course, the war. He seemed to, I won't say hedge his bets, but he seemed to be very cautious in his rhetoric about the direction for the United States and its allies in both Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yes, yeah, and he's going to have, Obama's going to have the challenge of trying to determine exactly from a tactical perspective how to best address these different issues. Certainly the economy is number one, but then after that, what does he do with, as you said, foreign affairs, health care, energy issues, and does he tackle some of these other issues simultaneously, or does he build up some victories early on in the economic arena and then take on some of these other issues? And certainly something like Iraq and Afghanistan, the reality on the ground now might be quite certainly different than some of the rhetoric that Obama was discussing on the campaign trail. So some of these other domestic issues probably, there can be kind of a conceived way of going about these, an order, a preferencing. But yes, internationally, Iraq needs to be addressed, and Afghanistan certainly arguably is a greater issue again than Iraq is.
What I found most overwhelming in watching this morning's inaugural event really was kind of the lead up to it. For me, in many ways, the actual inauguration and the speech was a bit of an anticlimax. I wasn't disappointed, but it was an anticlimax. I was more overwhelmed by the picture of a country that is able to peacefully transition between power parties so graciously and so quietly every 4 years.
Yes, yes. And we've heard much about the graciousness and just the total cooperation that the outgoing Bush administration has offered and did offer to the incoming Obama administration. We've seen a political breaking of bread across partisan lines. And you do kind of course, see this every 4 years or even every 2 years, but there does seem to be something different this time around. And you know, hopefully this sticks around a little longer. It certainly might be just the scope or the scale of the issues that we need to address, and that our partisan bickering just simply has no place as we try and address these issues. I was struck kind of too, I guess, Todd, in a class I'm teaching here at Concordia, we of course were watching the inaugural events, and there were some people in there whom I know were strong McCain supporters, and there are certainly I also know some Obama supporters, and yet all the students seemed almost transfixed by just this spectacle, this event, this coming together, as you said, of America, and in this very historic kind of context, and if that's any indication, hopefully this goodwill across partisan lines and across the country will at least sustain us for several months now.
Dr. Jeff Walls is our guest. I want to hear from you. What are your expectations of the Obama presidency? What did you think of President Obama's inaugural speech? Our call-in number live this Tuesday, January the 20th, 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE. You can also email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. We're talking about the Obama presidency. Dr. Jeff Walls is our guest.
It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Jack Bearhorst, Mark Bearhorst, Linda Bearhorst, Pastor Heath Curtis, Roger Peters, Thomas Winger, Bonnie Townsend, Dorothy Bearhorst, Ron Bearhorst, and Mary Ellen Samaray. Thanks for your support.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in its mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. 300.
For we know that our patchwork heritage is a strength, not a weakness. We are a nation of Christians and Muslims, Jews and Hindus, and non-believers.
This is the price and the promise of citizenship. This is the source of our confidence, the knowledge that God calls on us to shape an uncertain destiny.
That's President Barack Obama this morning on the Mall of Washington, D.C., addressing a crowd of millions and the nation, casting a vision, if you will, for a change in America. But he also talked about a renewal of what has made America great from the very beginning. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Obama presidency. Dr. Jeff Walls is our guest. Tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss the alleged age of accountability. Dr. Andrew Das will be our guest. Let's go to the phones and see what Steve has to say. Steve, thanks for waiting.
Oh, not a problem. One of the questions I have is Obama going to be forced to have to govern from the middle, a lot like Clinton had to, and which really riled the Democratic liberals because of the fact that they didn't get pushed through what they wanted? And do you see that happening with Obama?
That's a great question. Thank you very much, Steve. Dr. Walls.
Yes, it is, Steve. Yes, and already we've heard, I think it's a very astute point, we've heard grumbling from the left wing, from the more liberal Democrats. We saw this shortly after the election when Obama was putting together his cabinet and his advisors. And a number of these folks come from the Clinton administration. You wouldn't exactly call them left-wing politicians. A number of these folks coming from academia, and there is kind of a centrist, at least a slightly left-centrist, I think, formula to a number of these picks. Obama has also made it clear that something like the stimulus package that he would not like to simply govern with just the Democratic votes, which he probably could. Certainly in the House, there's a big majority there, and the House Democrats have all the power there procedurally. In the Senate, depending upon what happens with Minnesota, which probably will stay with Frank, and as a Democrat, you're close there to being filibuster-proof, meaning the Democrats would have significant power there as well. Having said that, though, Obama has stated that he wants to be the president of all the people. And I think when you look at his stimulus bill, at least the proposed bill, one of the versions now has about $300 billion in tax cuts of some form or the other. And this is thought to be, and I would agree, a way to bring in many more Republican votes. Obama has said, he'd like to pass this stimulus package not with just Democrats, but with, say, 70 or 80 total votes in the Senate, which would include Republicans as well. So, yeah, I guess it's interesting. You hear from some very conservative folks, and they're like, Obama, so far, at least in the last couple of weeks, doesn't seem as liberal as I thought he would be. And some on the far left say, well, he's not as liberal as he should be. So, yeah, at this point, it looks like he will govern more from center or center left. And certainly his cabinet choices and his choice of Rahm Emanuel as chief of staff is someone who will certainly keep the House and Senate in line from his perspective would suggest that will be the case.
Josh is listening in St. Louis. Josh, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call, Todd. Dr. Walls, on this program, they've talked at some length about the Freedom of Choice Act, which is, of course, a bill. But I recently read on Boots and Sabres, they had a link to a CNN story that said Obama may reverse the Mexico City policy, and that's just a executive order. Do you think that the Obama administration is going to actively pursue a pro-abortion agenda?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Yeah, on the Freedom of Choice Act, from what I've read on this, and this would be something that would certainly be pro-abortion or would be certainly a hit for the pro-life advocates. I don't see, from what I've read, I don't see a great inkling for members of the House or Senate really to take this up for a number of different reasons. You may recall back when Clinton took office in '93, one of his first initiatives, in fact, I think his first one out of the gate, involved gays in the military. And we can talk about that issue at length, but from a strategic perspective, it was not a very good kind of opening issue for Clinton because it then hampered him in addressing other issues. So as I see it with just the Freedom of Choice Act, there are too many other issues on the table right now economically. We've talked about war, Social Security, certainly entitlement reform, energy reform. But I think the odds of that issue coming up, even being discussed at any point now, would be pretty slim. But on the other hand, the executive order route is something where Barack Obama could create a more pro-choice environment in some ways through executive orders, which simply are ways that he can reverse certain administrative policies that President Bush had implemented. So, yes, there are certainly ways to change actions or to change policies, as it were, outside of the purview of Congress through executive orders. And we'll have to certainly see if something like that happens on the abortion issue. It's quite possible.
Very briefly, what exactly is the Mexico City policy?
I think Josh is referring here to a policy involving the ability to provide abortion counseling and other types of abortion assistance overseas. And under the Bush administration, this has been reduced because of the encouragement of abortion in some cases. And under the Obama administration, it's thought that some of these regulations will be loosened up again.
Matt in Seward, Nebraska, emails us with this. He says, I expect President Obama to sign the Freedom of Choice Act, expand the power of labor unions, and join with the Congress in giving away more tax money in the name of a stimulus package. Eventually, he will also push for tax increases. These are his promises in his campaign. How am I supposed to be bipartisan when I disagree so profoundly with his goals? About a minute for a response.
Fair points. Certainly, the labor groups expect Obama to be more sympathetic to them. I'm not really sure Obama will jump on this issue either for a number of different reasons. We've seen what's happened with the Big Three and some of the intransigence by some factors within labor movements. So that would be a hot potato, it seems to me, that Obama might want to stay away from. As far as taxes go, yeah, you may recall that Clinton back in 1993 did enact a tax increase. What Obama has said is he for now is not going to increase any taxes, even for the very rich, as it were. So I think given the economic situation right now, almost all economists are saying that raising taxes at this point would be a mistake. Now, if the economy improves, things get a little better, then there could be some targeted tax cuts and tax increases, but it seems to me that's at least a couple of years out. So I guess I would encourage you to give Obama, a shot here and see exactly what he and the Democratic Congress come up with.
With only 30 seconds, is his cabinet complete, or are there still some major appointments to be made in there?
I saw that today six of his cabinet appointments were approved by the Senate. Everyone's more or less lined up for hearings and for spots. Timothy Geithner at Treasury has run into a little trouble with tax issues, and I think he'll probably still be approved. Eric Holder, as Attorney General, also has come into a little controversy involving pardons in the past, Mark Rich under Clinton, but I still think he'll probably be approved as well. So at this point, it looks like the cabinet appointments are at least on track to all be approved by the Senate, which is how the process works.
Dr. Jeff Walls is Associate Professor of Political Science at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's co-author of the book Lutheran Pastors and Politics, Issues in the Public Square. You can find out more about this book, Lutheran Pastors and Politics, under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Dr. Walls, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. A pleasure.
When we come back from this break, we've got hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead. Open lines. It's time for you to chime in. I want to hear from you. Two periods of time in this inaugural event this morning were of particular interest to me, the beginning and the end. The invocation given by Rick Warren of Saddleback Church and 40 Days of Purpose and the Purpose-Driven Life fame, and the benediction given by the Reverend Joseph Lowry of Civil Rights fame and his long association with Martin Luther King Jr. Well, what did you make of them? We're going to play them for you, stopping and starting, and get your reaction to both the invocation given at the Obama inauguration and the benediction given at its end. It's audio open lines. I want to hear what you have to say. What's in there that you find commendable? What's missing that should be there? Our call in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943, or talk back at issuesetc.org. I want your reaction to Warren's invocation and Joseph Lowry's benediction after the break. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.